I want to tell you about something I've used and I truly believe in. Replayer. It's a sideline camera built for youth sports. Just set it up, hit record, and it captures the entire game automatically. No chasing the ball, no holding your phone, just hands-free, stress-free recording. The in-game tagging is one of my favorite features. One tap, and you can mark a big goal, ankle-breaking moves, or a clutch tackle. Then pull those clips for later for review, highlights, or social media. And the live streaming's next level. A buddy of mine actually watched his son's game while flying cross country at 30,000 feet. That blew me away. If you're a parent or coach at the field every weekend, Replayer is a game changer. Head to replayer.com. That's Replayer.com. And I think you'll be amazed. Hey, soccer friends, I just want to give a shout out to our partner, TeamPlayer. They are changing the game on how you find the perfect soccer team for your player. Parents, this means no more endless social media scrolling to find information on teams. With TeamPlayer, everything you need to know is just a few clicks away. It's simple, straightforward, and lets you find the best coach and team for your player without any of the usual headaches. And coaches, we all know how tough it can be to get your team noticed, but when you subscribe to one of Team Player's team plans, you instantly get access to set up an online team profile that allows you to reach more potential players and showcase what your team is all about. It's super easy and lets players and parents see why your team could be the right fit for them. And if you sign up using the promo code PITCH, you can try any team plan free for 1 month. So whether you're managing a team or searching for one, come on over to www.teamplayer.us. That is TeamPlayer.us. And come give Team Player a look.
Family-owned Soccer Innovation is your go-to source for top-quality equipment. Whether you're a player, a supportive family member, or a dedicated coach, they have everything you need to elevate your game. For players, their innovative equipment are designed to boost your skills and performance on the pitch. From their agility cones to their portable goals, they have you covered. And family members, they offer durable equipment that's built to last because we know your support is critical to your player. Coaches, trust me, they can provide the equipment you need to run effective training sessions and shape the next generation of soccer players. Visit Soccer Innovations at soccerinnovations.com to start elevating your game with them.
And if you use the code PITCH, P-I-T-C-H, you can receive up to 10% off your next order. Hello guys, this is Ian Babcock, your host of Chat by the Pitch. This week I have Gavin Mole. This is a 2-episode series. And the first episode is about nutrition. The second episode, guess what? It's about nutrition. Now, as we dive into this, take notes of what he says and what he talks about, because it kind of took me back on some of our conversations. So as we get ready to listen to this next episode, Gavin Mole is a sports nutritionist with his business called Eat, Train, Perform. And you can find it at eattrainperform.us. And he is also a director of coaches with Surf Soccer Club. Now let's start this chat and head to the pitch.
Gavin Mole, junior director for Dallas Surf Soccer Club. I've just moved over there now, so I'm in charge of technical development for the U8s through U12s, as well as that I own a performance nutrition business called Eat, Train, Perform, where me as a certified sports nutritionist via the British Dietetics Association help players, parents, clubs just understand the fundamental benefit of fueling for soccer, why it's important.
When did you start playing soccer?
Oh, ages ago. Getting on now. I started playing when I was like six, probably five, six. But when I say playing, I mean, I wasn't on a team until I was 10. The first few years, I was just out in the street with my dad or friends, just kicking the ball around. Dad was a good player, so I think I naturally just had a pretty decent ability. Yeah, started playing at 10 for my first like local club team, and then went on to like play for school excellences like right away at Aston Villa. And then I went back into like the local scene a little bit. Obviously, the club works a little bit different to America, of course, but the grassroots in England. Through those years, went back into the sort of professional side of it in the academy teams and then reserve level. And then found out apparently I wasn't good enough. I disagree, but back into the non-league scene and like high-level semi-professional injuries and things like that. I couldn't really play anymore and stopped playing. And that's kind of eventually when I got into coaching the game instead.
Now when did you get your degree in your formal education then?
Actually, so I got my degree later on in life. So like after I came over here initially and started coaching, I decided to go back home and get more formal education, because obviously when I was playing, I wasn't at university. Later on in life, I think I was like 25 or 26 when I went back, and I got a sports coaching degree. Then I got a sports science degree, heavy on the nutrition side of things, biomechanics and physiology and all that type of thing. And then eventually went on to get my postgraduate in performance nutrition. And I've done that over, I guess, when I got more mature, I went back to university. And eventually I've just, you know, like I love to learn new things. I love to learn new skill sets. And so over the years, I've just gone back and got more and more qualifications that really help me with soccer, basically. Like just an all-rounded view of how to develop players from every aspect. Awesome. Help players from every aspect. So
that's really cool. How long have you been coaching for then?
I want to say 16, 17 years. Nice. Something like that, quite a while. Yeah, like I said, I coached for a little bit in England, very briefly before I came out here to America for the first time. Actually, I came to Dallas in for the first time in 2008. And that's really where I got into coaching properly and I guess found out that that's the next best thing I can do if I can't play at a high level anymore or the level I want to play at anymore. So, yeah.
I mean, that's great that you found your niche. So do you prefer coaching at a certain age group then?
I wouldn't say I prefer it. I think like right now, like with surf, obviously I'm now in charge of the juniors. And I think that's the most important ages to get the correct coaching and the right coaching. And unfortunately, it's the same here in England. A lot of it is the best coaches are often on the higher age teams. And in reality, I think they need to be on the younger teams. Just because obviously that's like the sponge phase, so to speak, between the 7 and 12, where the technical development and, you know, the motor skills and all that type of thing is really improved weekly. So like if you've got a bad coach during those age groups and getting to do things that you probably shouldn't be doing, then it's just, so I wouldn't say I prefer it. Like I love coaching all age groups, and I've worked with every age group from 4 years old to semi-professional men. Women, like it's just differences between them.
Now you have your, when you went back to college and started looking more towards new nutrition and whatnot and coaching, so how did you decide to go from strictly just looking at coaching to moving towards sports nutrition?
I think I first got into nutrition, so after I like couldn't play anymore, one of the first jobs I got was as a fitness instructor. I got qualified as a fitness instructor. Well, this might be, you know, I'm an athletic person. I like helping people. So I became a fitness instructor, and then I became a personal trainer and a strength and conditioning coach. And then that's led more towards obviously focusing on nutrition to help clients for like body composition goals for the most part, and just obviously live a healthier lifestyle. And then obviously once then you get into coaching more, those two kind of align together. And then I think back to my playing days and my own eating habits. And I was a very fussy until probably 27 years of age. Like I was really bad and try anything new. And, when you're in the cafeteria, like in the professional setting, and obviously you get fed what they think you should be fed. And it's changed a lot now to how it was back in the day when I used to be there. The right word, like the fear mongering now in the nutrition space. Doesn't help parents or families at all in terms of knowing what their child should be eating. So I think just aligning all those things together and, you know, being dedicated to being a coach and working with young children and seeing even like the obesity epidemic we have, like, so yeah, I don't know if I answered your question now.
No, you but, did. I mean, but you got
it's
there.
Kind of a, yeah.
It's fascinating the paths that when you start talking to all the different coaches out there and everyone, that the path they take to get to where they are today, it's absolutely amazing. I mean, your case is you played at the high level that you played at, and realized that you didn't fit the mold that they needed at the time. That's how I describe it. It's the player profile they needed to adjust to go to the path they needed. So you found your path to coaching, and through coaching, you found your nutrition side. So it's all fascinating how we all end up in the right places at the right time to force us down a path that we need to see. And obviously yours is nutrition. You recently have started to reamp your nutrition side of your business. I mean, we've had some side chats about this. And what made you decide now is the chance for you to start growing and changing your model from the looks of it from the past?
Yeah, so previously, a lot of it was focused on, like I said, a general population and the fitness side of things. But obviously, being so heavily involved in coaching in North Texas in the community as well, you know, I, parents are asking me all the time, like, what should we eat? How should we eat? What does this do? What does that do? Coaches as well. So like, there's such a general lack of information, I think, and misinformation, like I said, just fear mongering and things like that, which led me to change path a little bit. And I think this is more really important as well, like I said, for the youth as well, to make sure that they're not, you know, so they're growing up, living a healthy lifestyle, and also eating the right way and not having any, I guess, bad relationship with food is probably the best way to put it. So they don't have any eating disorders and things like that. So growing a healthy relationship with food. I think it's just a really important thing.
Awesome. So let's walk through this process. So I come up to your website, and your website is, one more time,
Eat, Train, Perform.
eattrainperform.us.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Is the actual URL. Yeah.
So we get to Eat, Train, Perform, and we walk me through the process. So we sign up for your program. And so when we first sign up, is it a 13-week course, 12-week course, 6-week course, or is it a monthly subscription-based program where you provide information?
So I have different options, depending on who you are. So I'm just in the middle of revamping the website, so it's set up a little bit easier to follow. So like, it's, if you're a player, if you're a team, if you're a group, then, you know, they know what I offer for each thing. So if you're, you know, if you're an individual, there's obviously one-to-one programming, which I've kind of steered away from a little bit at the minute because of just having a baby on the way and also a new role at Surf, and kind of steering away from that a little bit, that model, because it's just the most time consuming. And then for teams and groups, it can be a group of parents, it can be a team of players, it can be a group of club coaches, provide workshops in person. Prefer to do them in person. I do them on Zoom, but I prefer in person. So the workshops will just involve activity-based learning. So I'll have I've got a few different hands-on things that I do. There'll be a presentation and then like a fun quiz. It's all interactive. There's lots of audience interaction. Building out a monthly membership as well, which will be an online platform where presentations each month, handouts, infographic styles, monthly meal preps, like recipes and things like that. And then I do have a couple of ebooks as well, like digital guides, which one is kind of a starter guide, which is on the website. And then I'm building out a complete, like a bigger version, which is finished, but I'm about halfway through, but that's probably gonna be like 80 to 100 pages. So it's gonna be really in depth. And then for clubs or schools or any organization in general, I have like a toolkit, which again, it's like presentations and social media style graphics that they can share on their social media and on their club resources, players, coaches can view. So quite a lot of things.
If I signed up for your program today as a team, we would meet in person. And what would you hand out, handouts and recommendations to the families, or is it just the players you work with, or are the parents involved?
So it's a difficult, it's not a difficult question, but it's, so ideally, the parents are the decision makers. The parents are the ones buying the groceries. The parents are the ones cooking the meals for the most part, at least to a certain age, right? Until they're maybe high school kids or whatever. Whenever I do a workshop, if it's a group of players, you know, I want parents to be involved. I want them to be, even if they don't want to be in there, like I want them to see the handouts that I give because they're very beneficial, and I want them to get involved and follow up and because they're the ones that are really going to move forward with it. Like not many athletes by themselves are going to, especially the younger ages, are going to make sure they use the knowledge that I've just given them in the right way. Like high school kids might, like elite players might, and I'm doing elite in air quotes because elite's very famous word in North Texas, used not correctly at all, but we'll go with it. But yeah, like, high level players might do it more so. So ideally, like, I would like to be able to do workshops with the parents as well. And that's hard to get, I think. It's a strange one because parents seem to really want the information. I don't know. Don't get much follow through with it. But those are the parents are the key people that I'm trying to move towards until you get to like those high school ages where the kids are a bit more self-sufficient and can cook and might have a say in their groceries and, you know, things like that. So the workshops will have handouts basically that go with the actual in-person thing. But the workshops themselves can be a variety of topics. So usually if someone doesn't have a topic they want me to speak about, I'll do like a performance nutrition 101, kind of an overview. People want certain topics, then I can go. I mean, there's so many different topics I can go through. And like if a team, for instance, wanted to do like a group of, you know, I could work them through, you know, let's say they wanted a block of four different, we could do a block of four different topics. It might be the overview, and then it might be, you know, game day, tournament nutrition. It might be, you know, building muscle mass in the off season. Like it could be anything really. Female nutrition varies just a little bit, you know.
You give multiple different variations of the program. So if you have a team, do they buy into like a block session? So do they ask for, I want to have six sessions with my teams. You say it's X amount. They divide it among the teams and among the players on the team that want to participate. And you have your in-person. And when you go through each one, do you try to break it down based on what they are, who they are? So age, gender.
Yeah. So if it was like, if a team did want like a block or something, like right now, like on my website, like it's priced per attendee just for a single session. If there's a club or a team or an organization that wants like a specific amount and different topics, and then it'd be a consultation and see how many players they've got and what they want exactly to try and work out what cost works for them. I try to make it fairly affordable because, like I say, it's just an area that I'm really passionate about and really key, I think, just to development of the human self, so to speak, the player themselves. Like everybody I'm working with is still going through their growth and development, and nutrition is a key for just that in general. Try to make it affordable. Yeah, so it can be as a package, but obviously if you just wanted a single one, then it's just pretty transparent pricing. Awesome. And I think very fair. I think just the handouts alone are worth the value of, you know, what way more than what you get. So
what, how would you break down age groups? Because I feel like every athlete's slightly different and every age is different. And this is the conversation I was having with my wife this weekend. It was, how do you plan for a 9-year-old versus our 5-year-old? But we have to cook the same meal because we aren't a restaurant.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. Yeah. So, I mean, age groups, so in general, like the basics of nutrition will stay the same. Obviously, if speaking specifically for soccer players, and like I say, we've got a 10-year-old soccer player and a 16-year-old soccer player. Maybe one's female. Obviously, the main difference is going to be how much energy they need and their energy availability and how much energy they're expending through exercise, through the daily activity. So that's going to be the main difference. The general nutrition and what they need is going to be similar, but the amounts and when and why might be, you know, slightly different. And to be honest as well, like it that would vary. If you've got two 16-year-olds, they might be completely different as well. So it's not necessarily their age, it's more just you could have a 10-year-old who's, you know, 130 pounds. That's probably an exaggeration, but then you might have a 15-year-old who's still only 110 pounds, and then, you know, the size, your weight, your muscle mass, all those things make a difference as well in terms of their unique needs. Where you live is a big one, obviously, depending on like Texas, you know, it's really hot. So obviously the humidity and the heat you play in and stuff is going to make a difference as well. Like there's lots of like individualized things where it's hard to give blanket recommendations for any specific group, if that makes sense.
It does. So I'm going to take our audience, which is mostly soccer players. And if I was going to say, come in and talk to my U5 parents, or U5, U6, U8, because you can normally bunch the younger ages a little bit closer together because they aren't expounding as much energy.
Yeah.
what would you say they need to do? Because I know that we've here in the States, we've always been taught the food pyramid, and I've always been told that's not accurate anymore. It's somewhat accurate.
Yeah.
But it's not the truth anymore. What would you start with the parents saying for practices, then prepping for a game week?
So I would kind of start just especially for anyone, like I mentioned before, like, so you really got to think about the human self first. So for any age, you're really focusing on just fueling enough for the energy required. So you're fueling for the work required, is a better way to say it. So if you've got, I guess it's someone who's 8, they're going to have less of a requirement than someone who's 14, who maybe does more practices. So I would just start small and making sure they're eating enough food. So don't skip meals. Don't tell them what to eat or when they're full or when they're not full. Like the child needs to understand their hunger cues. That's really important for a parent to realize that by perhaps saying, you know, you've got to finish this before you have this, or you've got to eat this, not that. That's really adding to that relationship with food and can cause things down the line, perhaps even food disorders. And really you just want them to understand, you know, what they're eating and listen to their hunger. And when they're full, they're full. When they're hungry, they're hungry. Like I said, and you're fueling that growth and development of, you know, making sure that, you know, their bones, their muscles, the, you know, their height and everything is how it needs to be. So that's kind of my best of parents initially, with any age group, especially the young ones, because obviously you want to make sure they're not starting out with like an unhealthy relationship to food.
So like my I'll use my 5-year-old daughter because that's what I have. She likes to she goes to all of her brother's activities, and her favorite thing to do is to eat while she's there. If it's drawing or watching a show on the iPad, while we're at his practices or his games, all she does, all she associates Len's activities is eating. It doesn't matter what the other activities are, it's always eating. As a parent, I mean, she's an active little girl. She plays soccer and she does gymnastics now. And I mean, she has an 8-pack, I mean, or a 6-pack, whatever you want to call it. Like when she stretches out, and she'll be more than glad to flex her muscles for you. And she's very proud of her muscles. But as a parent, it's like, what do you feed a 5-year-old girl that's always on the go, just like her brother? And this is how I'm looking at this, as she plays soccer. Like we try to make sure she gets her vegetables, her starches, her protein. And this is a little girl that says, can we just make the chicken nuggets in the air fryer? And like, no, you can't live on chicken nuggets alone. And
that's what I did as a kid. That's what I mentioned earlier. I used to just eat chicken nuggets, chicken strips, different forms of chicken. Yeah.
And it's like I'll grill barbecue chicken, and she goes, I don't like it because there's the black stuff on it, which like that's the best flavoring. You get more flavor with it. Yeah. But she's very picky eater. What advice would you give parents other than what we do with our kids? Is when we have spaghetti, we try to put spinach into the spaghetti sauce. I mean, there's small tricks.
Yeah, no, I mean that's a good way to do it, to be honest. Like, yeah, adding vegetables into smoothies or hidden in different, like you said, did you say zucchini? Is that what you said in spaghetti?
Spinach and spaghetti sauce.
Okay, yeah, well, you can make like zucchini pasta and like things that you can use vegetables as the pasta, or you can use, you know, you can season things. Seasoning things is obviously a good thing. Like to get them to eat vegetables, often that's a much easier way to get them to enjoy them. But like I said, the main thing is really just not trying to say anything. Is there's obviously a balance to it, but like making sure things are not labeled as healthy or unhealthy or good or bad, because like I said, there's just too much, and lots of the, you know, social media now is great in one way but bad in another, and there's lots of people telling you what you should and shouldn't eat and how bad certain things are. To be honest, the only thing that I like recommend most people stay away from is just obviously trans fatty acids, but like deep fried foods and stuff like that. But that's not like, I'm not saying never eat them. Obviously as a kid, like you might, it's a little bit different. Generally for soccer players and stuff, like I don't really work with someone until they're like a little bit older, like, you know, sort of 11, 12, but working with parents, it's just general, like you said, it's general information, general knowledge, and basically teaching them what food does what. So what macronutrient does what, and how it, what's the role of it in the body. just to give them a general idea of like what, like when to feed them what thing, because obviously they're still doing the cooking and stuff like that. So like, you know, carbs give you energy, protein help with muscle and recovery, and you know, fats help with hormone balance and extra energy and things like that. So one of the main things I think just for parents and players to understand is knowing what is going into your body first and foremost, because if you don't know what's going in, you have no idea what the outcome is going to be. So for the real young ones, it's more just general advice on and learning how to do certain things.
So I should stop telling my daughter that her eating her vegetables will give her muscles, and me feed her chicken so she can recover.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. So if I do workshops with, or Zooms or whatever, with adults or parents, the phrase is a little bit different, because like for players, I might say like protein helps you get bigger and stronger. Like carbs helps you become faster and have more endurance, because it relates to like it's the specific goals they want. It's more of the outcome goal. Parents, right. I might be able to say it as more just like I just said to you, like, you know, it's hormone balance, it's vital micronutrients, it's that type of thing. I try not to go too science heavy because it's a bit complicated, but you know, like carbs might help. Carbs, I might say to parents, helps with focus and alertness, and helps in school, and because it's, you know, brain development and stuff. So whereas, like I said, in the media and stuff, you get told carbs are bad, whereas carbs are the key for soccer players or any athlete.
So speaking of carbs, if we're getting ready for our game, our week. So I was recently told, I guess, when I did my first interview with a nutritionist, she recommended that you don't do carb loading the day before. You micro carb load, or you add on carb loads throughout the week, which actually made perfect sense to me, because your body won't digest it fast enough the night before or the day before, where you just, if you have a big event coming up, she said, add 5-10% more every day to what your normal carb load is, so your body can metabolize it correctly, so you aren't overdoing your metabolism. Now, that being said, what type of carbs would you recommend throughout the week then? Because I'll take Brandon. He's 9. He's playing a year up, and his coach says they're going to go 3 days a week training.
Yeah.
And for us, we're excited for him because the focus he needs, because this is his love, his passion. But at the same time, this is the kid that wants to have 3 chocolate chip cookies is on Friday, Saturdays, and Sundays. So only 3 days he's allowed to have his cookies. Yeah. So we limit it. But what type of carbs do you let him have? Because those sugars are important for him. I mean, maybe not those sugars, but you like you said, you have to create the healthy relationship with food. So what would you advise families to get ready for that type of training? Even, I mean, there's some teams that practice 4 or 5 days a week starting at 8, which is just crazy.
Yeah. So carbs can be broken down into mainly 2 categories. So simple and complex. So complex carbs are just, you know, more fibrous, whole grains, those type of things. You think of those as your everyday meals, right? And then the simple carbs are the ones you think of as like energy snacks. For the majority of your meals, everyday carbs, you're going to have those away from practices, away from games, like 3 or 4 hours before, you know, in the build-up, at breakfast, you know, later in the night, like after, you know, you're keeping them away from the training time, you know, and those sort of things, like I said, are more whole grains or, you know, potatoes, rices, quinoa, fruits, you know, different things like that. And then the simple ones are ones you can have them more towards as like a fuel and top off. So you'd have those more towards, you know, say you got to practice at typical time in North Texas, what, 6 p.m.? You know, you might have had your breakfast at 9 a.m., like a, you know, full balanced meal with those complex carbs. 12, 1 o'clock might be the same for lunch. And then most families, they run straight out the door at school at 4 o'clock and straight to the field. You know, at 4 or 5 o'clock, that's when you might have those quicker form of carbs, those some more simple sugars, which could be, again, it could be fruit, different, like less fibrous, you know, could be banana, could be fruit packets, like gummies. You know, anything that's just more simple and less fibrous is the easiest way to put it. The easiest way to is look at the back of the, you know, the ingredients, if there's a label on the back, and, you know, look at the fiber, look at the content, look at the fat content, and you want something that's mostly just carbs, because that's what's going to top off the energy before you start the practice or before you start the game. And really, you're just doing that every day and you're working it around your schedule. So if you're completely off one day, it might look a little bit different. But you know, as you said, as the previous guest said, it's not, you can't just have 500 grams of carbs on a weekend and think you're going to perform. You're just going to, it's going to sit all in your gut, and you're going to have lots of GI issues, and you're not going to perform well at all. So it's for most people, like I said, it's not skipping meals. It's making sure you're getting a readily available stream of carbohydrates in the system. And then you're just topping it off if and when needed. Like if you're hungry before practice, or, you know, for recovery after practice, things like that.
So, I mean, I, as a parent that has younger kids, I can only imagine as they get older, we're always on a go society. I mean, it's very hard. I feel as a parent to, because we both work, we come home, one of us will cook dinner and the other one will be getting home shortly thereafter. We're feeding the kids, then we're back out the door. Now with nutrition, it's like we always try to get him eating dinner before, a light dinner, and then he can come home and have, we call it second dinner, and after training. And because he comes home starving, because he's trained for hour and 15 minutes, sometimes 90 minutes, and however long he decides to play afterwards. I mean, we try to really encourage being active as much as possible. And it's I find it very fascinating because I have a 9-year-old kid that can out-eat me most of the time now. And we worry that he's eating too much. And I know you said they have to pay attention to hunger cues. And as a parent, how do you advise them that they aren't overeating? I mean, yes, most of our kids are playing sports, but I also feel like there's a fine line between eating until you're, I guess as adults, we struggle with this. We eat too much.
Indulgence.
Right. And how do you advise parents not to let their kids to eat so much that they aren't hungry, that they're bloated, yeah, so to speak, with food?
I think again, if we think of like soccer players as well specifically, so there's probably two things. Like, so one, obviously, if you don't see any issues of growth or body composition or anything that alerts you to the fact that eating too much food, then they're probably not. They're probably just the kids expend so much energy, and it's crazy how much they expend, especially active kids, soccer players, and you know, they're running around all day. It's unbelievable how much food they really do need. So if you don't see those signs, like in terms of like the physical side of it, then you know, there's probably no issue, even though you think they might be, you know, they're eating a lot of food, they might not be. And then on the soccer side of things, when you're on the field and you're looking for signs of fatigue, or you're looking for signs of like stomach upset, or maybe they're too full, like different, you're looking for signs like that where it shows you perhaps they are eating too much as a whole, or maybe just eating too much before practices or before games, you know. But the main thing is, like I said, it's hard because like even as adults, it's, you know, we, like you said, indulgence is a real thing, and we don't often pay attention to our own hunger cues. So as a child, children are real good at it. Like, but children are just really good at it. They tend to know when they're full and when they're not. That often gets skewed, like I said, when you start to have that unhealthy relationship with food, where you think things are bad or things are good, or, you know. So I would say, unless you see those main issues, then I wouldn't worry about it until you need to worry about it.
Hey, thank you for listening to this week's episode of Chat by the Pitch. This week, Gavin and I talked about quite a bit about nutrition and the things that he does. This is part one of two parts. I broke it up because it's about an hour and 30 minutes worth of information. I thought it was kind of a lot to digest over one sitting. And if you're like me, my attention span's about 30 minutes. So I'm going to try to keep them kind of short for you all, not to have them too long. Now, that being said, Gavin and I did have a lot of conversations in this episode and in the next one. And all the notes that we talked about, everything that he has, is referenced in the notes of the episode. So if you go down and look at the description, everything's there. So if you want his website, people he follows, or anything like that, you can always find that information in the description of the episode. Now, if you guys really enjoy my podcast, I ask you guys to rate it, write a review. Hopefully it's all thumbs up. I'm asking because that's how it gets promoted more within the systems that are out there. Now, if you have anything you guys want to be talked about, shoot me a message. I'll try to do it. So let's get ready for the next episode next week. Until next time, I'll see you at the pitch.